a chance to hang out with like this person I've been stalking online. Yes, sign me up.
Welcome to Reading Through Life. This is a weekly podcast by two best friends who have major dreams of living inside a library.
We fully believe that there's no better company than that towering pile of 73 unread novels that you have sitting on your nightstand.
And if we don't get the quiet time to dive face first into a book each day, we get really stabby.
Each week, you'll find a conversation around books and our very different tastes and styles in what we read. I'm Mia, and I'm more of a classic fantasy type of reader who truly believes that books are precious creatures to cherish.
And I'm Sarah, a rom-com family drama type of reader, and I totally dog-ear my books.
We're so glad you're here today. Let's get into the show.
Mia, it is time to celebrate.
Heck yes, it is. We are celebrating 50, that is 5-0, 50 episodes of Reading Through Life, and we could not be more stoked.
We wanted to do something fun for this episode of the podcast, so we're doing a Ask Us Anything type of episode. We've compiled a list of questions that you sent in, and we will run through them in this episode.
Also, just a note, we're recording this episode a bit early so that we can take a mini summer break, so our format will be slightly different. But before we get started with your questions, Sarah, do you have a bookish goodie to share?
I have a bookish adjacent goodie to share. Does that count?
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. So a girlfriend of mine, Amy, recommended to me The Summer I Turned Pretty, the show. Have you watched the show?
No, I've heard of it, but I have not watched it.
Okay. I don't watch a lot of TV, like very rarely. There might be a couple times a week that I turn on a TV show. I binged the show in 2 days. There were 7 episodes and I could not stop watching it. It was fantastic. I have not read the book. This is why it's bookish adjacent, because it's based on a book. I have not read that book. I'm sure it's fantastic because it's by Jenny Han, and I love her To All the Boys I Loved Before series. But the show is on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, please watch the show. Like I said, it's only 7 episodes. It goes really fast. It is the perfect summer show. I don't think that this show would work as well, like in the fall, unless you just want to sit there and be super jealous of these people who are at the beach, which is fine too. But there's like, it's a young romance type of story. There's like a love triangle. There are lots of very cute boys who are of age. So it's okay that I say that. And it's just, it's super cute. And one thing that I really, really loved is that the moms that are in the show are like their relationship, their friendship, because they've been best friends forever. I love them. And the fact that I could relate more to the moms than to the kids is saying something about my age that I did not appreciate. Even so, I loved it. I sobbed in the very last episode, even though I knew what was coming. I loved it. So if you can, if you are interested in shows, The Summer I Turned Pretty on Amazon Prime is so, so good.
Oh, now I have to watch it.
Okay. Yes, you do.
So my recommendation is actually episode 23 of our podcast, which is called You Know You're a Book Nerd If. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you're here listening to this episode especially, but also to our podcast, you're probably a book nerd. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
You should come check out that episode and listen to all the scenarios that we shared there and see if you can recognize yourself in them. I bet you'll find at least a handful that you're like, yep, that's me. I'm a book nerd. So go check that one out. I think it's a pretty short episode actually, but we loved it. It was a lot of fun to record.
Yeah. We do have like a lot of those just really fun random episodes that we've done in the past. They're fun. And I think that they showcase what weirdos we are. In case you guys haven't noticed yet.
All right. So let's get into these questions. I'm excited. So we divided these questions into like personal questions and bookish questions. So let's dive right into the personal ones.
All right. So the first question we got is, how did you guys meet? And so I think Mia tells a great recap of this. I'm going to let you go ahead and share that.
Okay. So we very first met online, but I think met is a very strong word. Yes. I was a longtime reader, also maybe stalker of Sarah's blog. And I think she kind of started out like doing fashion blog type things, but then was like weaving in stories about like becoming a mom and that kind of thing. And I fell in love with her blog. Number one, because she's super cute. Like, have you guys seen Sarah? Like, she's adorable. And so when she would show her outfits, I'm like, oh, she looks so cute. I want to look like that. But then when she was talking about, you know, becoming a mom, I was like, this girl can write her patootie off. And so I want to do whatever she does. So I was stalking her like on Facebook and whatever, Instagram, whatever. And then one day I saw her post on her Facebook page that she was thinking of starting a magazine, and she wanted some volunteers to like join like social media and help out with like promoting, getting the word out about the magazine. I was like, ooh, a chance to hang out with like this person I've been stalking online. Yes, sign me up. So I sent her an email and she was like, sure, come join the team. And the rest is history.
And then we fell in love.
I was going to say, but then you have to tell people about how we met in real life.
Well, first I want to say, so now we've known each other for 7 years mm-hmm. and we have only been in person together one time in those 7 years, which is very depressing. So, and we don't even, well, before you started traveling, we didn't even live that far apart from one another. No. I think it's what, like 8 hours or something. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Mia and her husband, Charlie, came to Pittsburgh to visit. And I don't know. I think you still tell the story better because we met at a restaurant. And when we got there, Mia just says, she's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I don't know. Like, do I hug you? Do we hug? And it's like, at that point, we'd been like, I think we were basically best friends by that point. And so yeah. It was so awkward to meet in person, but also like not awkward. I don't, it was weird.
And then I thought you were going to be taller because like, you know, when you see people online, they just look really tall, but I knew you were the same height as me, but I don't know why I was surprised. I was just like, oh my God, you're short. And you were like, oh yeah.
We are 5'2", by the way, for anybody yeah. who's curious. So yes, we are short, but yeah, that was a really fun weekend. And it's like, I think had our husbands not been there, we would have just devolved into like very weird things. I think they kept us a little grounded.
I think so. Yeah. We didn't want to be like our 100% weird selves because they were there. We're going to have to do another in-person meeting where it's just us so we can just be as weird as we want.
I still dream of like, just, you know, we get together somewhere like in the middle or, you know, who knows what that might be now at this point, but, and like we rent a hotel room, but it has to be like a suite hotel room so that we each have our own rooms yeah. because we're very introverted. But like then we can come together and like hang out and then like we can read together and then we can like go do like podcast stuff and then we can mm-hmm. go our separate ways again. And then we could go to like a bookstore together and then go our separate ways again. This is like my dream. Yeah, yeah, I think so. We'll put Brandon and Charlie and the kids, like they can all just hang out and like drink beers and do whatever, talk about fart things. And then you and I will go do book things.
Charlie and B, we know you talk about fart things. It's fine.
Okay. I think that's enough of this question.
So basically I'm a stalker and I'm as awkward as you would think. That's what I took away from this. Okay. All right. So our next question is, why did you want to start a podcast?
I think the simplest answer is because we were selfish.
You know.
We wanted an excuse to talk to each other every single week about books. I mean, we didn't really care if anybody listened. We still don't really care if anybody listens because we just get to like hop on once a week and we're like, hey, what's up? What books are you reading?
I love it. It's my favorite part of the week. And like last time when we were trying to record, we had like all these like internet issues and we were like, oh, this sucks. But even at the end of that day, I was still like, you know what? I got to talk to my bestie about books. And it was so much fun. That's my favorite part of the week, every week.
Yeah, it's like no matter how frustrating it is when we're trying to record, which feels very much a lot lately, it's still like we're just laughing and having a ridiculously good time. And we normally record Monday mornings, which are probably the most terrible time for us both to record. But I feel like we both get on and we're like, hi. And then by the end of it, we're just in good moods.
Yeah. And then there's so many things happening behind the scenes that you guys don't know that when I re-listen to the podcast, I remember what we were doing and it cracks me up every time. Like if you're a patron and you listen to our bonus episode, I think that was like a recap of what we read in June, Sarah's trying not to die because she's having a coughing fit and I can hear it in her voice and it's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, we actually had to switch that up at the last minute because like I could not talk anymore and I was supposed to like close out the episode. So Mia had to like, she's like, I will do it. Don't worry. Cause I could not, this was right before I found out I had COVID. So it all makes sense now. There's also, and sadly I cut it out. I probably shouldn't have, but in a recent episode, when you said fartcast instead of podcast, and then could not stop laughing for a solid 5 minutes. It's like every time you started to try to record again, you just burst out laughing again.
And then I would like look at Sarah through the camera and I couldn't do it. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. She's just like, come on, Mia, get it together. But I couldn't do it.
I feel like when you and I listen back to that one, we're just going to be dying. Did we answer the question? I don't know.
Yes, we did.
Okay. All right, good. That's fine. All right, moving on. This next one is a question just for you. Where are you traveling to next?
All right, so right now we're in Indiana. After we leave Indiana, we are going home to Virginia for like, not even a week, like 6 days to do some repairs on the RV. If you live the RV life, everything breaks all the time because you hit every pothole going down the highway and things jostle and move around. So we've got to do some repairs, but also we're going to pick up some things out of storage. I need books. I'm going to grab like a giant stack of books because I love my Kindle, but I really miss having like actual books to read. So I'm going to grab some of those. But after we leave Virginia, I don't know. We're probably heading south, North Carolina, South Carolina, something along those lines. So you'll just have to keep listening and find out where in the world is Mia.
Where in the world is Mia Sutton? It doesn't really work.
That was a very like, oh.
I need to get you a red hat, I think.
Oh, I love it.
I think the question to this one is, when are you coming to visit Sarah?
I know that was totally in the plans, but we have to go south because we're broke and we need to go to south to make money because people in the south live in their RVs full time and they require a lot of repairs because if you are living in it full time, obviously you don't want to take it to a dealer who's going to keep it for 6 weeks. You want a mobile tech to come to you and do the repairs in like a day or two. So that way, you know, you're fine. You can keep living in your RV. Whereas up north, like Illinois, Indiana, all the places we've been, people are just there for the weekend. If something breaks, they're like, I'll just drop it off on the dealer on the way home. Mm. So like, we need money.
Yeah, I suppose that's an acceptable answer because I have no RVs at my house for you to fix. Sorry.
You should go purchase one, break it, and then call us.
Oh, that's a great idea with all my millions that I have just sitting around. Sounds great.
Okay, moving on. What is your dream book vacation?
Okay, so I am not really a beach person. I would not turn down a beach vacation. Mm-hmm. If somebody was like, hey, you want to go to the beach? Yes, I do. But my ideal situation is that like I am sitting in a city center somewhere alone, obviously. Specifically like on a waterfront. It can be a lake. It can be the ocean. It can be a river. I don't really care. And I'm reading right there because then like I can take breaks and I can people watch because I love to people watch. I'm thinking this wasn't even a vacation, but like a weekend away, my husband and I had in Pittsburgh and the next morning he got up to run and I was like, I'm not doing that. And so I went down and just sat on the river in Pittsburgh and read a book. And like that day there also happened to be like a half marathon or something happening. So, and I was like near the marathon course. So like I got to watch the people like run by and stuff. And so that was like perfectly ideal for me. So I think that that's probably that, but like put me in Europe somewhere and that would be my dream. Yeah. What about you?
I think mine is probably the opposite end of the spectrum. So I still also want to be alone. Like nobody bother me, no one else around. But I would love to be like in a cabin in the woods where it's like freezing cold. There's snow on the ground. So definitely nobody wants to go there. There's like bear and deer and whatever, wild animals, whatever. But I'm safe because I'm cozy in my cabin with like a fire going and a giant stack of books and a giant pot of coffee and no one there to interrupt me, ask me any questions. So I want to be like off the grid Mia on my dream book vacation.
I would also take this vacation. That sounds right? Fun. Yeah. Let's get like cabins that are next to each other.
We get like little tiny houses. I love it.
Yeah. And then we should put a string with the cans on each end so we can talk to each other. Because if we're going to be off the grid, we probably don't have like Wi-Fi service to talk on our phones.
That's true. Uh-oh.
Something else I just thought of that is probably very weird that I should mention to people. This goes back to like, I don't know, our weird stories about how we met and all that. We don't talk on the phone or text each other, which I think is kind of strange for how often you and I talk in a day. That's always true. Via Slack or via Voxer. It's like, I don't know that I've ever texted you except for maybe when you were coming to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that was the only time. That's so weird.
I thought about this one day and I was like, that is very weird that I don't text with Mia.
I'd say we should just text each other right now.
All right, moving on. All right, so this next question is about our finances, which I just want to cry about. So this person asks, how much do you spend on books a month or a year, and do you budget?
So, okay, I am cheap and poor, double win. So I really only pay for Kindle Unlimited, which is like the service you can get through Amazon, where if you pay, I think it's $9.99 a month, don't quote me on it. So like $120 a year. Math is not my strong suit, but that way you can browse their library of Kindle Unlimited titles. So there's a whole bunch of books. Like there's romance, there's thrillers, there's all kinds of literary fiction, all that stuff. But you can just browse their library every month and read it for free-ish because you've already paid the $9.99 for the month. So that's probably all I spend on books. If I go to buy like a book, like a physical book in a store, it's usually because I have a gift card from someone else. So I would say like $9.99 a month is my budget and what I spend. What about you?
I plead the fifth and I don't want to answer this question.
Is it more than $9.99 a month?
It is more than $9.99 a month. Well, first of all, I pay for Scribd, which is like $12 a month. So there's that. And then, you know, I buy a lot of books in a month. I also get books for free, like from NetGalley, which is wonderful. I do a lot of library loans, but also I buy a lot of books. I do always look for deals, though. I don't spend as much in my local indie as I would wish that I could. Mm-hmm. So I do spend, you know, like at Target or Amazon or something where they're a little bit cheaper. I've thought about like when we do our patron episode, the new books in our lives, like to add up how much I've spent, but I don't want to, especially cause like, I don't want my husband to hear that episode. It's fine. Everything's fine. So it's let's move on from this question.
Okay. All right. So tell us, what is one thing that is on your bucket list for your life?
So I was just going to say traveling, but that doesn't feel like a very specific thing. So I'm going to say to see the Northern Lights. I would love to go see the Northern Lights. I think I would really, really love to go to Iceland and spend some time. I thought about also that I would really love to live in a different country for a little while. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if I could actually do it. So that's on my like maybe bucket list. I don't know. But I'm going to say final answer to see the Northern Lights. What about you?
So my answer has changed throughout my life. Like I wanted to write a book at one time. I wanted to meet Stephen King at one time. I wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail because of the book A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson, who's my favorite. But I would say now, currently, at my 30-something age self, I would like to go to like Yellowstone because I keep seeing like these beautiful pictures online of like, you know, the mountains and the scenery and the wild animals. And it just sounds really lovely and like not super crowded, like not like a big city or anything like that. And I feel like that's where I'm at in my life. I want like peace and nature and beautiful mountains to look at. So I want to go see Yellowstone.
That feels like something you guys could do, right?
No, while I think you're traveling? Eventually. Yeah.
Oh, good. All right, so this next and final question from our personal section, if you could relive any moment from your life, what would it be?
So I would say, I mean, there are so many moments. Like, are we reliving it to experience it again, or are we reliving it to change it?
Do you have one for each?
Maybe.
Whichever one you want to tell us about, you go with that one.
All right. So I'll just say relive any moment to experience it again. And that would be like when Charlie first sent me the infamous email, and I'll have to find it and show it to maybe Sarah because it's embarrassing, but that Charlie sent to me when we first like officially started dating. And like, this is how old we are. Okay, you guys, he sent me an email through like Hotmail. I think it was Hotmail at the time because I had a Hotmail address. And then he was like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I like you. I think you like me too. Do you want to be my girlfriend kind of thing? And I don't know. I remember sitting, I think I was at my dad's house and like reading this on the computer and just like smiling ear to ear. I was like, oh, he likes me. I love that moment. That would probably be the moment.
I'm going to be super cheesy and say the moment that my first son was born. And it wasn't because like oh my God, I'm a mom now. But like, we didn't know for both of my pregnancies, we didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl. And I really, really, really wanted a boy. And my husband really, really, really wanted a girl, to the point that like we had a name picked out for a boy and a name picked out for a girl. We had Henry picked out for a boy and Caroline for a girl. Brandon was trying so hard to manifest a girl that he and the nurses, while I was pushing, were singing Sweet Caroline.
Oh my gosh.
Still get very irritated when I hear that song, because I'm like, can you not? I'm pushing a human out of my body. Anyway, so we didn't know. And so then the doctor, like, once he's out, she holds him up. She said, it's a boy. And like, up until that point, I had not cried. I didn't have a lot of emotion because I was just like, I am terrified of what's happening. Mm-hmm. I immediately started sobbing. I was so, so happy. And then Brandon and I and baby Henry were all just in the room together for like a solid 45 minutes with my mom, his parents, my sister, my brother, all in a room down the hall, still not knowing if we had a boy or a girl. Aww. And I was told later that there was a nurse that kept going by and going, I know what they had. And so finally, after like 45 minutes, I was like, you should really go tell them what's happening. And so Brandon went down the hall, and this was, I mean, like several feet down the hall from us. And I don't know exactly what he said to them. I'm guessing he just kind of walked in and said, it's a boy. I heard screaming down the hall. Everybody was so happy. And I started crying again at that point too. So I'm just like, that entire moment of like having Henry, finding out he was a boy, and then listening to Brandon get to tell everybody that we had a boy was just like, I would relive that even through the pain of childbirth. It was great.
I really admire that you did not find out about the gender the entire, like, I could not resist. I had to know immediately.
I did. Like, there was no part of me that was like, I really, really, really want to know. I was, cause I was totally okay either way. My sister was pissed at me. She's like, I want to know so I can plan things. I'm like, no, it's fine. Everything is fine. And then when I got pregnant the second time, she's like, please tell me you're going to find out. I was like, nope. Now it's just to spite you.
All right, let's move on to our bookish questions that we've gotten from our listeners. And this question is, any books that you strongly disagree on?
So you had put this in our outline and said Razorblade Tears, and I would agree with that one.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like, and even then, I don't know that it's a strongly disagree. It's just that it wasn't for you. Like, you weren't like, yeah, I hate this book. You were just like, I don't want to read this anymore.
Yeah, like, I can absolutely see the appeal of the book.
Yeah.
And like, I actually had somebody spoil it for me, so I knew what would happen. But yeah, I can't read that. I'm trying to think of any others that like, we just really do not agree on.
Yeah. This is my mission. We're going to find one. We're going to find one where we're both like, I love it, I hate it.
Yeah. We'll start a new podcast series that's, instead of books we both love, books that only one of us loves.
Oh, I love that. That's funny.
And we'll just sit there and you'll be like, I love this book for this reason. I'll be like, nope, I hate it. And this is why.
Even if you love it, you have to pretend to hate it.
Yes, exactly. All right. So the next question is, if you could only recommend one book, what would it be and why?
So my choice that I would recommend is only to people that can handle it, which is saying something because this book is very dark and depressing, but it's A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. I don't know that I have read a book in recent years that has stuck with me as much as this one. I still think about this book. It still destroys me. It's like emotional and physical chaos. There's trauma. There's all kinds of horrible, horrible things happening, but there's like these tiny slivers of like hope and finding love amidst all this like chaos and like friendship. And I just love it. I would recommend it to anyone, but only if you're able to handle it, because you have to have a certain, I don't know, strength or something to deal with all of those trigger warnings all at once in one book that is very, very, very long. Yeah. I'm not selling this very well.
If you like depressing books that are super long and make you depressed for a long time, give yourself this book.
Yes.
I agree about this book, though. It is a beautiful book, aside from all the terrible, terrible things that happen. But it really is. It's so good. And I think I especially love that book just because of the male friendship that we see, mm-hmm. because there's not a lot of books about male friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I co-sign that one. So I know all of you are thinking the book that I'm going to recommend is The Idea of You. Guess what? It's not, because that isn't a book that I would recommend to everybody, simply because, for one, if you don't like open door romances, you will not like that book. Mm. And also, I know that, like, not everybody likes romance just in general. So that's not something I would recommend to everybody. So the book that I chose is The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune. I know that you loved Under the Whispering Door more, but I absolutely love The House in the Cerulean Sea. It's just, it has such a great message in it, mm-hmm. of just like being who you are, accepting people for their differences. And it's all kind of just wrapped up in this really adorable bow with so much heart. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love the worlds that T.J. Klune creates. I will read anything ever by that man. I think he's just so, so talented at bringing like these bigger issues into something that's manageable for us to read, but like still leaves you with like the all lesson learned.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a great pick. That's totally a Sarah pick. And this is a great book. And I also love that like T.J. Klune seems so proficient at creating these like grumpy characters. And mm-hmm. When I said this to Sarah before, she was like, maybe he's a grumpy character. I feel like he is. I think he is. Yeah. But grumpy in a sweet, endearing way, not like a mean way.
Right, exactly.
All right. Oh, this is a good question. So you have to punch a book character in the face. Who would it be and why?
I had a really, really hard time with this question. I actually was sitting there all this morning before we started recording, looking at my books. And I'm like, would I punch somebody in that one? Would I punch somebody in that one? And like my husband and my son were sitting there talking with me about this too. And like, even for my son, we came up with Matilda and how I'd punch like basically everybody in that book. But I think I'm going to go with Georgina from The Lifestyle by Taylor Hahn, just because she was the last character that I remember reading where I was like, I don't really like you. Mm. And she just like, she was always pushing like her personal beliefs onto other people. And I don't know, I didn't care for her. It almost made me not really like that book, but I think she was supposed to be the way that she was. So I don't know. I also kind of want to punch Selene from The Idea of You in the face just for the ending of that book, but I can't tell you why.
No.
But you get me. You know why.
Get you. Let's punch her. We'll double punch her.
Yeah. What's your choice?
So mine is Kirsten from The Grace Year by Kim Liggett, which if you listen to episode 49, that was a book that Sarah chose for me to read. And I loved it. But this character is just, ugh. She reminds me of Regina George from Mean Girls, but like times 10,000. She is smug. She's manipulative. She loves to like say really hurtful things and spread gossip and torture other people. Like she is horrible. Like we need to do something about her.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that pick. All right. So our next question is a really fun one. You have a room in your house for a library. What style will it be?
Ooh, I think it would be. So in my head, I have pictures of like Belle from Beauty and the Beast, but I think in reality, it would just be like this really messy, like 5 bookshelves. Some of them are falling apart. They're overstuffed with books. There's like beanbag chairs and old like raggedy couches and recliners and like, you know, little coffee tables that have like coffee stains on them. Very like an old, yeah, be like an old rundown, like secondhand bookstore kind of vibe. I think that's my library. What about you?
That's a very interesting choice. All right. So me, all right, here, you're going to walk into this room with me. Ready? So okay. Walking into French doors. So they open up like, yes, already it's beautiful, right? And there's a giant window. So there's lots of pretty light because I like to take pictures. So there's beautiful light. And this is also a room that doubles as my office. So over to one side, I have like my really pretty desk, which my desk is always nice and neat. That's true. I'm not making this up in the story. And so it's like nice and pretty sitting over there. And then I have just built-in bookshelves on either side of the room that are floor to ceiling. Obviously there's a ladder because, you know, there needs to be a ladder, and it's just filled with books in there. And there's a couple of like really cozy, like leather chairs that I can just kind of curl up in, like they're oversized ones. This is what it would be. And now if I don't have that in my next house, I'm going to be real mad.
I feel like if you walk into my library, it smells like stale cigarettes, even though I don't smoke. And if we walk into yours, it'll smell like roses.
Why do I feel like this is a metaphor for us as people?
I love it.
Mia does not smell like stale cigarettes. I should put that out there. But just like, you like the dark kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I don't know what I want to say there, but yeah, just kind of like dark and moody kind of space. That's what you've just described. And I've just described like this light and airy kind of place. Yeah. This makes a lot of sense now.
So like if it was on HGTV, mine would be the library before picture and Sarah's would be the after.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody's going to be like, don't you want to get rid of that couch? You'd be like, no, I need that. It's got a perfect cushion for my butt.
Exactly. Yes. I love this episode. Okay. Our next question is about library holds. Ooh, that's a good one. So how do you manage them when they all come in at once and you usually have a limited time to read them, like a couple weeks or something?
So this isn't usually a problem for me. First of all, I read pretty fast. And so usually I can get through whatever I happen to have. Also, my library only lets you check out 10 books at once. I can't check out a ton anyway. But if this ever does become a problem, like on Kindle or something like that, I usually just start with the books that I'm most excited to read and then just kind of make my way through to the ones that I'm okay if I miss out on them, basically. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I do because I don't know, I don't really have this problem.
I would say for me, it was a problem in the beginning. Like I would put so many books on hold thinking I had plenty of time. And then, you know, like seven of them would come in all at once. I'd be like, what is happening? So now I try to stagger it to where I'll only put like three on hold. So if they all come in, that's not a big deal. I can read three books in a month or more. And then, or if you use Libby, I don't know if your guys' library uses Libby, but there's an app where if you put an ebook or audiobook on hold, and it comes in, there's an option for it to deliver later. So they'll kind of like skip you and they'll go to the next person in line and they'll bring the book back to you in a certain amount of time. So sometimes I'll do that if I have too many to work with. But like Sarah said, I don't know, this is not usually a problem for me anymore because I feel like I know how many I can read and what to request and what I'm kind of interested in. So that's my process.
You probably really miss going to an actual library, don't you?
I miss it so, so much. Ooh, maybe I'll do that when I go back home to Virginia. I'll just walk in the library like, I'm here.
They'll be like, where have you been? All right. So our next question is, what is a book's ending that has shocked you the most?
Ooh, okay. So this is a book that I have not talked about much on the podcast yet. I'm going to review it in our next wrap-up episode, but it's called Baby Teeth by Zoya Stage. Oh my gosh, you guys. So it gives me the same vibes as like The Push by Ashley Audrain, but even better. I think it's even better than that. And so when you read the ending, like it just gave me goosebumps and I was like, what just happened? So definitely that one, but I don't want to spoil it. And I don't want to say too much about it because I'm going to review it in depth on another episode, but Baby Teeth by Zoya Stage is my choice. What about you?
I would choose, and I think this is just like a recency bias kind of answer, but Cover Story by Susan Rigetti. Mm-hmm. The last literal two pages of that book, I was like, oh my God, what just happened? And that seems to be the consensus for everybody. So I would definitely say that book. If you haven't read it yet, you should, Mia. Ooh,
yay. Okay, I will. All right, this one's a hard one. I don't know who sent in this question. I still love you, but I'm going to hit you with a wet noodle because it's so hard to choose. All right, what is your favorite book of all time?
All right, we already know the answer for this one for me. It's The Idea of You. That's not hard. I was trying to think, like, is there another book? But, I mean, that's the book that I think of when I think of my favorite books.
Yeah.
I would also say House on Cerulean Sea is another one of my just all-time favorites. Maybe we should do like an all-time favorites episode. Oh, that sounds too hard.
It's we'll be here forever.
All right, hit us with yours.
I have like 500 million Stephen King books that I would want to choose, but because I can only choose one, I'm not even going to pick Stephen King. I'm going to go left and pick A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson. I've talked about it 100 times. I just love how funny he is. How he paints these like really hilarious pictures in your mind with his words. I love how he was totally unprepared to go on this giant hike. And he just is like, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. I'm just going to go buy all the gear and just go for it and see what happens. And I love that. It's a really sweet, funny, heartwarming book and you should totally read it.
I feel like because you've read my favorite book, I should really read your favorite book.
But what if you hate it?
That's true. I just won't tell you. I'm not going to tell you that I'm reading it.
There you go.
And then one day it'll just be in the, it'll be on a DNF episode. You'll be like, wait, what? I didn't know you read that.
I'll like hang up on a recording. Goodbye.
Yep. What's going on? Did we lose you? And then I just get a Slack message where you're like, I hate you now. Podcast over.
Dramatic turn of events. All right, you guys, this was so fun. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions. I feel like we have to do it again once we hit, like, I don't know, 100 episodes or something. So yeah. Please send us more questions that we can make a list. And we really hope that this helped you to get to know us better.
Maybe. Maybe we've just turned away a lot of people. But thank you guys so, so much for being with us for 50 episodes, whether this is the first listen or if you, this is your first listen, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or if you've listened to every single episode in the past, we are so thankful for you.
So here is to the next 50 episodes, and we will talk to you soon, book nerds.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the podcast. And now is the time we ask you for a super quick favor.
Will you take a screenshot now, like right now, of this episode and share it with a friend or on social media? We can't begin to explain how much your shares help us find other book nerds.
Plus, isn't life just better with more book friends in your life?
We're sending you virtual hugs and 5-star book vibes.
Talk to you soon.